When a young musician, or any musician, first encounters the music of Robert Schumann, it seems clumsy. The perspective one is used to applying to learning a piece doesn't seem to work. And in there lies the genius and the beauty. One has to strip away a bunch of layers to find the meaning and the interpretation. Schumann was that composer who left nothing on the playing field. His life and his character are his music. We feel drawn to him because his music was the most intimate, the most joyous, and the most poetic. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and today we're talking about Robert Schumann, who wrote one of the three greatest romantic cello concertos, next to Dvorak and Elgar. In the case of the cello concerto, we don't know who the hero was, but it must have been an extrovert. On the other hand, with Schumann, unless it is written in his private letters or published music articles, we can never know if he put characters into his music. In his earliest years, Schumann gained reputation as a miniaturist. He wrote for solo piano and later voice and piano, and some instrumental pieces with piano. It was his wife, Clara, who urged him to write orchestral works because she thought his imagination needed a larger palette. But miniaturist also meaning the form. It wasn't very often a sonata form that he worked in. So I guess Clara hit the mark because soon after she asked him to consider writing orchestral works, he wrote two symphonies and a couple years later, the piano concerto. The cello concerto was written much later in his life, and it only took 2 weeks to compose. Schumann said he was eager to write a concerto for an instrument that was overlooked by so many composers, but was capable of so much. It opens with three chords played by the orchestra that are reminiscent of Mendelssohn's Midsummer Night's Dream. Setting the tone for something completely different from, say, his piano concerto. The first notes of the cello are very understated too, and then they move into an enigmatic exploration up and down the cello. The piece is actually a challenge for the listener, and it's not like any other cello concerto of its time. Schumann did regard Mendelssohn as the Mozart of the 19th century, saying, "Mendelssohn saw through the contradictions of the age and for the first time reconciles them." Mendelssohn had written Song Without Words, and it was something that Schumann both loved and seemed to embrace as possibly being in his own wheelhouse. They were miniaturish. They were distilling down to less from more. And above all, they were not obviously virtuosic. These were all things that Schumann revered. The cello concerto was written about 2 years after Mendelssohn's death, and Schumann was indeed at Mendelssohn's funeral as a pallbearer. It follows that the cello concerto might have some more reflections of Midsummer Night's Dream. The last movement seems a bit puckish in its sprite, lively, and elusive character. It's just now becoming a popular audition piece, and orchestras like the Boston Symphony are requiring it. And back during Lorne Maisel's tenure at the Pittsburgh Symphony, he said it was his favorite cello concerto. But until recently, the message to cellists was, don't play this for your chosen concerto at an orchestral audition. It's not only unknown to many musicians, it's misunderstood. Schumann has been compared to early German romantic writers, being called innocent. His music goes in directions no one expects, Sometimes it's quirky, going from bombastic to subtle in just a few notes. You could say it goes from 0 to 60 in a span of a few bars, emotionally, that is. The cello concerto is a great example of this. Schumann wasn't interested in displaying virtuosity as much as he was in expressing feelings, and as we've seen, developing personalities. In the Opus 73 Fantasiestück, he embraced Biedermeier, meaning without virtuosic trappings. And you could say much of the cello concerto goes this route for the substance, but the technique is significant nonetheless. Alicia Weilerstein says that the hard parts don't sound nearly as difficult as they actually are, calling them thankless. Today, cellists just say, yep, that's our boy Robert, making us stretch our technique and reach into the depths of our souls. The cello concerto seems to have a reawakening every generation, and it takes the most prominent cellist of the time to bring it back like a sleeping beauty. It was Piotti in 1866, and then not again until Casals in 1920. And the piece seems to rely on the greatest cellists of the day to bring it to the audience's ears. It's continually being lost and found again. Schumann was a revolutionary composer in so many ways. So what he did for concertos was to do away with the gratuitous technical passages. And in another genre, opera, his mission, though not completely obvious to many, was to do away with the recitative. Although he only wrote one opera, had he lived longer and a healthier life, Schumann probably would have done even more for opera. But as it is, Wagner seemed to take up where Schumann left off. He was developing characters into music with leitmotifs. It seems like a likely next step. And Wagner may have actually taken the characters Lohengrin, Till Eulenspiegel, and others from Schumann's letters. The legacy of Schumann, at the very least, continues through his music and the music of his contemporaries. It's so important to see the timeline through all the best composers. Schubert, Beethoven, and Mozart are the ghosts in Mendelssohn and Schumann. And going forward, it all repeats again. Music stays alive through all of us. Let's always support the composers we know, playing their works, commissioning their pieces, and talking about them at our concerts. We're all a part of the lineage. So thanks again for listening. Hey, I'm posting a link to one of my favorite performances of the Schumann Cello Concerto in the show notes at acellerondocast.com. I hope you'll check it out, and have a great week.